Morning, morning, morning. Morning drip. April 5th. It's going down. 2021. I know we should get into it this morning. Hope y'all feeling out there, feeling well. Hope y'all blessed to make it with us this morning. We should really get into it. Wait on our co-host to come in this morning. Let y'all know everything is going down. Of course, we got our word of the day. We'll get into that today. We'll get into everything we're dealing with, the MA program. We'll deal with that, and we're going to deal with pooling our resources, our finance and our own business ventures, to employ our community. That's what we're going to deal with today. So that's where we at. Again, I want to thank y'all for joining in this morning. Hope y'all percolating, ready to go. There's a lot of families out there that got them. Of course, we all got them loved ones in these places. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me, caller? I had to bring a caller in just to see, make sure everybody could hear me out there this morning. Can you hear me, caller? Huh? Okay. Okay, so now we roll. Okay, so let me start off this morning like this. Okay, so the word of the day, you know we always got a word of the day. Good morning to you too, brother. I see you. Okay, we always got a word of the day. So the word of the day this morning is American. Now, this is from an old dictionary. This is from American Dictionary of the English Language, 1829. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to let you see yourself because I want you just to Google American, or pick up your little dictionary and pick up and look up the word American, and I guarantee you it's not going to say what this dictionary say in 1828, because today they're going to change it, and this definition from 1828 is going to even tell you how the change is made. So it says, this is from 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, American, a native of America. Originally applied to the aboriginals or copper-colored races found here by the Europeans, but now applied to the descendants of Europeans born in America. Okay, again, a native of America, originally applied to copper-colored races, originally applied to the aboriginals or copper-colored racers. So right there, that tell you a distinction that it was more than one copper-colored people here, because it says it was originally applied to the aboriginals or copper-colored races. I mean, it's only one race, ladies and gentlemen. That's the human race. So if somebody say copper-colored races, it's only one race. So it was just multiple copper-colored people here. So, but one set of them people had to be the aboriginals who civilized the land. And that's the point what we bring to the table as saying that we're Moorish Americans, saying that the Moabites were the first ones that civilized this land over here. Then the Canaanites came, which is what they misnomer and call Indians. And then you have Hittites and Amorites. You have different people with what really is Hindus and Indians and Chinese and different people that migrate over here following their folks. Yeah, following their folks. Just like the old man Ying or whatever came from, Ding came from China, looking for his black descendants, his black Chinese ancestors. Yeah, he's looking for his people. You feel me? Yeah, over here though, he wasn't looking over there. He's coming over here looking for him. So there goes American right there. It tells you a native of America, originally applied to the aboriginals or copper-colored races found here by the Europeans, but now applied to the descendants of Europeans born in America. So we remember a few weeks back, a few shows back, we went to the word native. And under they new wording, they say native is anybody born under jurisdiction of the United States. So everybody's a native. So we need to get to the root then. We need to find out about aboriginal and indigenous, And that's not to offend nobody. Sure, we all family, but we got to get to the root because we are somebody too. So we got to claim our stake you know, this earth, you feel me? And who's identifying to these tags? And by the way, I'm still looking at the document I shared, which are the Christian Black Codes of 1724. I don't know if anybody went and Googled and investigated that. So you won't just think I'm up here slandering or doing something like that. I'm pulling this stuff off Library of Congress. Yeah, I'm getting this stuff from them. Yeah, I do these documents and stuff I be getting. So, I mean, hey, you know, check it out. Okay, so it is April. Spring, oh, April, man, spring every year, new life, you know, the land was, which you might as well say desolate, the leaves just fell off the trees, the grass was turned brown, you know, and then everything, and in the spring, everything just come to life. That's what it say in the Quran. See, y'all got to read more than one book, man. Don't get stuck on one book, man. You got to go on some of these other books, too, and go read and see how they correlate and all kinds of stuff, man. It'd be beautiful teachings. Beautiful teaching for anybody who's spiritual. You feel me? Put a religion aside. Just be spiritual. Just go in and find, look for truth. You feel me? Be like a bee, unbiased. Go in and get that nectar out of all them flowers and turn it into honey. Mm. And that honey got healing properties for man. Mm. A little bee can make something so delicious for you on this earth and provide healing and goodness to you. And you can't even provide nothing for yourself on this earth. Ain't that something? Man, y'all better get up and get out and get something. Yeah. So, I've been on this thing with the inmate program, right? Man, the inmates got it going on, man. The inmates been flocking to the teachings of Noble Drew Ali. Man, they see it. They see it like I did, man. When you be in them desolate places, man, and you go in there and you got to go inside and find self, man, it'd be a deep journey, man. But you could find truth. And to be inside itself. That's what them prophets and messengers on them mountains and them 40 days and 40 nights. Well, I had more than 40 days and 40 nights. And them brothers and sisters up in them places got way more than 40 days and 40 nights to think about it and get themselves together, man. And you start understanding and putting, see who is who. You see who is who and what is what in the world, man. You start digging deeper than people have a chance to out here. You know, you delve into things way deeper. You have more time. You know, you could really see who you are and find out things. So right now they digging deep, man, and they having study groups, and they seeing it, man. They seeing it. They seeing how these codes and laws has subjugated us, has kept us subjugated as a people. And that's for you guys to study, man. We have to look at that and see. It's no need for those that 14th Amendment. That 14th Amendment wasn't no needed. The 13th Amendment abolished slavery. There was no need for no 14th Amendment to make you no citizen. How can you be a citizen? You were descendants of Africa. You can never be a descendant into the European Union. That's what it was. This is the European Union. Excuse me, y'all. This is the European Union. This was set up for trade and commerce. That's what they got up here. They had something set up. And you don't understand that. And you've just been ushered into a citizenship, but you don't understand that citizenship. You don't understand classism. You don't understand how Roman law is. So you just think you're living in the time and you just cool to be black, or you cool to be white, or you cool to be Indian. Those are tags. Those are coin tags. So I'm not going to just narrow down to just black folks. Those are coin tags. And you got to understand that. If you come from a people, then you have a history. You got a landmass just tied to your name. All those things. Everybody else in the world does. So it's only right that you're supposed to, too. Where's white land at? I don't know. Okay. Where's black land at? Okay. Yeah. And then where's Indian land? Indian land is in India. So, okay. So when they keep saying that, that's so you're saying Indian, you're talking about India. The word speaks for itself. This is not India. Yeah, but they are a stock of ours. So we all, because we're one family. So we just got to understand those type of things. So with the inmates been really studying and understanding. Folks out there, if you got people locked up in them places, Legal Empowerment Group is the group for you. Legal Empowerment Group 101@gmail.com. We're working on, the website is finished, but we got to do some, it's not finished, put it that way. We got to do some touching up on it so people could go log in and leave your information. So we can teach you how to get your families out of them places, man. It don't matter what they say they did. They didn't do nothing, man. They under foreign jurisdiction, man. They need a challenge jurisdiction. Ain't no statute of limitations. So it don't matter how long they got, how long they been in there. You go challenge the jurisdiction. Find out who are you That's what they wanted to find out about you. Who are you? They went there and after they kidnapped you, they put you in the court and asked you who are you and stated for the record. Why? You already didn't kidnap me. You say who I am. What you got me stating it for the record for? Because they wanted you to agree that you are who they say you are. Who they say you are. That's right. And you are an artificial person. Shut up, nigga, and dribble like they told LeBron. Give you this attorney over here. Go speak for you. He's going to not represent you. He's going to represent you to the court. And even if you hire one, he's in the same bar association. His first open affirmation, his or hers, is to the bar, not to the client. So if you don't understand that because you don't read and study, then you need to. So that's why when you gave them $50,000, they still gave you all that time. Yeah, because their first oath is to the bar. And the judge, the prosecutor, and your attorney all are from the same mob, from the same organization. Yes, they are. And that's a conflict of interest and things you got to understand. So the prisoners, they've been getting it, and they understand that, hey, this jurisdiction thing, you got to have three forms of jurisdiction, man. You sure can't have jurisdiction over my person in personam jurisdiction. Yeah, so then that you got to show me that. You got to show me that. So that's where these challenging jurisdiction come in. Hey, you're challenging their delegation of authority. Hey, where you get that from? Congress, what did Congress authorize for you, and who does it pertain to? And you saying, I'm a person. What type of person it pertain to? Remember, we in a few episodes back, we went over the word person, and there's two type of persons, artificial person and natural person. Artificial person created by law with rights and semblance of a human being. Yeah, but he's not. You feel me? That's like the little movie Ted. Y'all watch the movie Ted 2? I talk about that now. Ted running around shaking his wee-wee, doing all the shit, smoking and everything. You feel me? But they shut Ted down. They told Ted, huh, you are not alone. Yeah, Ted, you can't get in like that, Ted. You faking. That's what they told Ted. Sit on down that you faking. So a lot of stuff that we need to get to and just focus on. I've been knowing that with the prisoners. They've been loving it. They've been sending back a lot of feedback. And just helping them understand that. Challenge jurisdiction, man. Tell them, put them on notice of who you are. You feel me? Yeah, you've been claiming to this citizenship and not understanding, and you think you're denouncing America. No, this is the United States of America. You see what I'm saying? It says of America. America precedes that. The United States is something that was formulated. You feel me? That's a union that was formulated, a charter. You feel me? America was here. You feel me? Out of Maroc. Yeah, the Americas, out of Moroccans. That's what y'all is. So that's what you need to understand. And with that, I wanted to, I'm going to open this up, too, because I see my co-host over here, and I'm supposed to get him in, because we fully rolling now. We got the audio going. And before I bring him in, I wanted to set the stage for this case, because he put me onto this case. And if y'all not familiar with this case, it's the McGirt versus Oklahoma case. And it was decided in July of 2020, of last year. And the case concerned whether Oklahoma state courts had jurisdiction to try a citizen of the Creek Nation for criminal matters. On July 9, 2020, the court reversed the OCCA's decision in a 5-4 ruling, holding that under the Indian Major Crimes Act, lands reserved for the Creek Nation in eastern Oklahoma constituted Indian country. As a result, the state of Oklahoma could not legally try a Creek citizen for criminal conduct in state court. Boy, did y'all know the implications on that? All y'all got to do is wake up. Y'all all black folks, you talking about, I got Indian in me. I got Indian in me. You are the Indian. You are the Aboriginal. It's five civilized tribes that are recognized. Woo, y'all better wake up, man. Y'all been getting criminalized for no reason, man, on your own land. Martin Luther King said it, man. The Negro finds himself a prisoner exiled in his own land. Brother, you on the morning drip. You're in with your co-host. Good morning, Brother Hakeem Jabbar.
Hey, how you doing this morning? Salaam alaikum.
Yeah, salaam alaikum. Rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Bless you, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I was just thinking about this on a current event, on a current note here. I was thinking about the trial of the police that killed the boy in Minneapolis, George Floyd, right?
Right.
And I was looking at it just to see how they are. You know, they was calling that trial the George Floyd murder trial. See how they are? See how they
the George Floyd.
It's not the George Floyd murder trial. It's the Derek Chauvin murder trial.
Right.
That's what it is. It's the Derek
People need
Chauvin
to know his name.
Murder trial.
Right.
Right. George Floyd has been murdered by that police. He ain't on
right.
trial. Why are they calling it the George Floyd? Because they put that in your mind. And then you say, are you watching the George Floyd murder trial? See?
Right. Don't even know the dude who killed him, man.
See, I always do this. I'll say this here. 2 + 2, what comes to your mind?
4.
Okay. I didn't say give me an answer. I didn't say anything. Your mind automatically goes for the answer.
Right.
All I did was present a problem to you. I didn't say what to do, and you automatically went to the answer.
Right.
You see, that's what we need to do, go right to the answer. See, we stay on the problem too long, you know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? See, so anyway, I was looking how they was trying to villainize the man. They was trying to act like he was on trial, like he's a bad guy. This is what they do. They did that in all them cases where they didn't kill our people. They make the people seem like bad guys.
Right.
You know, he got a drug problem. Let me tell you about the opiate problem. That opiate problem is more people die, more people that are on pills and pharmaceutical drugs than all the other illegal drugs put together. They just don't tell you that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He had a prescription. He had a prescription for that. And then I was looking, because I be peeping the systematic racism, the stuff they do, you know, the message they send out there. They drop them little lugs. You know, he had a prescription for pain pills, him and his girlfriend. And like she said, it's a crisis in America with the opiate. You know what I'm saying? And once you start taking them and you can't get them because your prescription up, you go elsewhere to get them. And we know that's white folks stuff them pills. We know that.
Right.
We know that. And then the commentators, you can see their prejudice at the same time when they're making comments about certain things, you know. They try to make the brother that was right there pleading with him, hey, you go the MMA fighter guy, and try to make him like he's an angry black man. That's how they try to set it up, like we all angry black men. You know, like one of the commentators said, that wouldn't have happened. The only reason he was doing what he was doing is because his fear and his prejudice of black people from the jump, right off the top. That's why they treated him like that off the top. Now, they don't want to bring race in. I hate it when they don't want to bring in different aspects of what the truth is. And they had them courts. I'm glad people get to see just how ragged them courts are. We'd have been through them courts, so we know you don't got a chance. You know, and how particular they were about the jury selection and all that. And over here in Cocoa County, you get Danville and Concord and Lafayette. You get those people that judging you don't know nothing about you, you know, and already got a preconceived condition about who you are and what you are because of your melee, you understand? And then they say, oh, look, the prosecution got 10 lawyers over there, and this defense lawyer, he's all by us. No, what they don't tell you is that the police union done gave him $1 million, Derek Chauvin and his team, and he got people working behind the scene helping him with that case. $1 million they didn't give him to fight that case. You understand what I'm saying? When do you go to court? What does it mean you went to court and somebody says there's $1 million for your defense? Hell, OJ didn't pay that much. You know, just all the little subtle things that they do. And those are the things because they know the makeup, the mindset, and so forth. This is how they program us. And I tell people all the time, when you get involved, what is a program? A program is a prearranged plan. That's what a program is. You ever get a TV program? It's a prearranged program. You ever go to sport events? What are they be outside selling you? Program, so you can know what's going on. So they give you a program. They sell them to you when you go to the game, you know. So.
Well, they have to maintain. Go ahead. Go ahead. I got it.
When you get involved in somebody else's program, what does pro mean? Pro means for you. pros and cons. Con mean against you. What does gram mean? It's a measurement that we weigh things with in grams. You know, 3.5 grams, that's 8. You know, it's a unit of weight. We measure things in grams. So you got programs. So when you get involved in somebody's program, what I do is I turn the word around. I go gram pro. I weigh it first, and I see if it's for me or against me. And then I know if I want to get involved in that program. So anytime somebody got a program, especially the white folk, that American program, like everybody calling me, talking about Happy Easter, I don't want to hear that. Ain't no such thing. That's S-Star, Hot-Star, O-Star.
S-Star, yeah.
Yeah, the fertility gap. Something should tell you when they say nothing is nothing to have a lie in it if it's got some holiness in it. It's going to be true. The bunny cannot have eggs. A chicken has eggs. A bunny has live birth. What are they talking about? That comes from the drudges. And way back then, when they used to take the women and paint them in different colors, they go hide, and the men, whoever finds them, can have sex with them. And then start coming down, they changed it with the egg because that man was getting jealous. You find my wife, and now you're screwing her. You understand what I'm saying to you? Ain't no such thing as Easter. It's not even in the Bible. It's not in no religious book.
And that's why the forms that we have right now is good, because, see, we don't have to worry about that. Because we put it in now, it's time for us, the real men and women, to step up and produce that stuff, produce that type of literature, produce the type of form to speak to our people, and they have to levitate, gradually grow to that themselves. And like I said, we plant the seed and it'll be watered, because everything what you're saying, that's true, the programming. So we have to reprogram. That's what I did. I had to reprogram myself. I understood that. I had the literature had to change, and I had to, and listen, you got to understand this too, brothers and sisters. They have to maintain the white supremacy. They have to do what they're doing. So you have to expect that. So if we keep sending our children to their education system, we're going to keep getting the same results. So it's about doing for self, understanding what you're up against, and just doing for self. That's the best thing when you come together. Understand, okay, I know these obstacles. Listen, when you go to form businesses, do you know how deep it is, people forming with businesses? No, they don't. Man, just your zip code alone, you're going to get discriminated on. Yeah, you out there in Cocoa County, man, if you put you in Pittsburgh, man, if you put a business with Pittsburgh, man, with that zip code on there, man, you can get all the discrimination from the bottom to the top for everything that you're looking for. But guess what? That same place over there, all you had to do was set it up and put the zip code in Danville. Yeah, put it in Danville, and you're going to get a total different results. Change it over into Danville somewhere. See, and I learned that from forming business. They discriminate on that. So it's all different measures. So we just got to learn more how to just do for self and work together and come together, put our tools and fuels together, form businesses, and know how to inject those businesses so that we can provide for our communities and stuff. So that's what this forum is about and this panel discussing today, pooling our resources to finance business ventures to employ our communities. So
what they did was, this is what they do. Our people think success is having a good job. So first of all, because of how they wouldn't let us into these unions and different things, they changed it. So like the horse racing industry. Do you know them first few Kentucky Derbies were all black jockeys? It wasn't no white jockeys, Mexican jockeys or nothing. They were all blacks. All blacks that was in that horsing industry like that, the jockeys especially. So they got tired of it, and what they did was they created a union. And if you don't get in the union, you can't race, and they just blocked them all out. They did that in all the industries. They would create the union, then they wouldn't let blacks in the union, so forth, so forth. So what happened was, you know, we're so happy to just have a job, but when you're talking to somebody, you can't You don't say to somebody or somebody say to you, I got a successful job. You can't even use that terminology, that verbiage. There's no such thing as a successful job. You can say you got a good job. You understand? You can make that statement if that's a good job to you. You understand what I'm saying, team? So we always telling our people, go get a good job. Go get a good job. Go get a good job. And we think success is based on a good job. But when it comes to business, I can say Brother Suleiman Bey got a successful business. See, you can use successful being, you know. Why do you think all you got to do is look in your community and see the people that got it, they got businesses. They got businesses. There ain't nobody working getting $1 million black. I know if he ain't a celebrity, superstar, or basketball, or any of that. I'm just talking about somebody going to do a 9-to-5, ain't going to never get $1 million after 30 years, and then they give you a watch, you know, and then you brag about how you worked so long, your back hurting and everything else. You can't even enjoy your retirement because you hurt. You understand what I'm saying, T? So there's no such thing as a successful job. The problem with us is that we don't even want to enter into business. Because we don't see success as, you know, business as success, you know, as being successful, you know. So if you studied in Oklahoma, when them black folks had everything, the reason they bombed is because them black folks were starting to do some business with them people outside of the country, and they knew that. So they was going to destroy them. They had their own stores, everything, every single thing they owned. Operated everything, and they were thriving because they all came together for that. They put all that together like me and you be talking about when you're going to put all your businesses together. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to break the cycle. And when it comes to education, Carter Woodson wrote a book called A Miseducation of the Negro. He's the one that, you know, got the Black History Week, and it'll turn to a month started, whatever, whatnot, okay? He said, he's the second person to graduate from Harvard after Du Bois. Okay, so he said it took him 30 years to deprogram himself and figure out that education don't do you no good if you're not doing it, if you're not using it for your people. It's okay for our kids to go to these white institutions, historical black colleges, wherever they go get their degree. What happens is if you take your degree, your master's degree, your BA, your doctorate, whatever, and then you go to work and you put a black face on white power, all you do is help them stay in power. No, we're supposed to go get an education and take that education and bring it back to our community and transform our community. That's the only way education works. So we're not doing that. It's just like these kids are going to all these different colleges, these kids that play sports. What if they all went down to the historical black college? We have the most powerful league. We have the best players. We would have all the TV contracts. We would have everything. But no, you're going to send them to Alabama. You know how Alabama treated people in that whole Bible Belt treated people, and you're clapping and hooping and hollering because your kid didn't pick Alabama. No, he should have went down there and picked Morehouse. He should have went to Jackson. He should have went to one of them black colleges. You can see it just right there. Why are all our talented people going to the old schools? I don't, you know what I'm saying? If they just send all their kids down there, we're going to have the best league, period, because we have the best players. We have the best athletes, period. I alluded to it last time. The only time that these people let you excel is if you're in sports. You can give it your all, but you can't give it your all in any other situation in America. You can't do it. They're going to stop you. They're going to block you. I'm trying to get people like you. I always take the example. I've always been in business. When you call to me about a job, my stomach hurt. I have to go take a stomach pill when you go to talk about working for one of them. My stomach could start hurting. My stomach could start hurting. You don't have to go to work. We have enough money. We have enough education. Right here in America, we're the most educated people in the world. More than anywhere you see some Malayan people, we're the most educated. We got PhDs, CDs, MAs, BDs coming out our yang. We got education. We're just not
that's
taking
right.
that education. We're not taking the education we got. And so we should have a black doctor here, dentist, just like in New York in the Renaissance era, because them people were running from down south, getting out of that because they were being terrorized. They didn't leave because they wanted to leave. They leave because they were being terrorized. So they start coming to California, Chicago, New York, so forth, and all that, spreading out in this country in those particular cities. In New York, in Harlem. Harlem had everything. You want to see the doctor? Go see Miss Bessie. The dentist. Miss Bessie lived down the street, so you could see Madam C. Walker. She had her stuff, and you could see our people flourishing. So you wanted to be in business, you could go down to the cafe and see Malcolm. You understand? Everything was right there in that area. So that's what I'm going to try to create with the Afrocentric Cultural Development Corporation. You know, I'm going to try to create businesses. You know, so we can start owning businesses, hiring our own people, you know, making sure our money come back to us. You understand what I'm saying, T? That's what it's all about, this business thing. And they don't understand that it don't take a lot to get a business. It don't take a lot to get the money for a business. But the first thing you think about, because you don't understand, I ain't got no money, I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. You can get business credit just like they do it. When you see a brand new Arco gas station going up, he didn't have the money for that. He wouldn't have got him some business credit. So he'd have got him a couple million-dollar loan or $1.5 million loan. He's paying $20,000 a month back to pay off the loan. But he'd start right off the bat making $60,000 a month. He already making money, the first money getting business, and he didn't use a dollar here. All business credit. All business credit. So we be having good ideals. I talk to people, they have good ideals, and they talk about the ideals, but they lay down on them because they don't have no money to do it, you know. They don't have no money. I had one guy, he got a nice little business, but he went to work for Elon Musk. He went to work for Elon Musk. I don't care how much Tesla pay you. He's worth $180 billion. I don't care if he give you $25 an hour. He's got $180 billion because he owns the place. They say he's a successful businessman, and you say you got a good job. Who got the most money? Who got the most money? Them guys didn't start off with no bunch of money, them particular guys. They start off with a good idea when he got some money, you know. So we got to get into the business realm, period. That's where it's at. That's how, and you can build generational wealth from there. I got a friend that got the dismantle yard. Now watch his little son grow up. Now his son is running that yard. You know, and he had kids, his son running that yard. That money, they probably got old $20 bills right now they need to turn in. That they ain't even spending the new big faces. They still spending the old money, you know, because they got it like that, you know, because you're in business. So I love business because I consider myself a hustlerpreneur. You know, I'm going to get me a business and I'm going to hustle it. And when, I remember when I was incarcerated and the guy told me, he says, write down everything that you want to do. And I started writing it down. I gave my little list. He said, ooh, it's a lot of things you're trying to do. He said, now go write down all the things you shouldn't do. You understand what I'm saying, T? And my shouldn't do list was longer than what I wanted to do list. And he said, when you get out, brother, work on what you shouldn't do. He quoted the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not. He said, 8 of the Ten Commandments is telling you what you shouldn't do. He said, work on what you shouldn't do. Because the only reason you can't do these things is because you need to stop doing these things first. And I did that. I got out and stopped working on my knots in my life, the knots in my life. And I stopped doing this, and I stopped doing that, and I stopped doing that. And when I stopped doing those things and thinking that way, it opened the door for me to do these things, you know. Now, I consider myself a successful businessman on the fact that I don't even have to get up and go to nobody's job. But today's Monday, I ain't got to get up. When I finish this talk show, I can go back to sleep. Because I'm the boss, and me and my boss get along. He likes me. I say, hey, man, I don't feel like coming to work today. He says, okay, go ahead, I.D. You understand what I'm saying? I like that. You know, I got some people, if it's a job today, they're going to go do the job for me. They're going to make some money, and it's going to be some of my people. They're going to make some money, and I'm going to make some money. You understand? And that's how it go right there, man. We need to get in the business realm of everything and get off that good job thing. Because if you make $30 an hour, it takes you 14 hours to do the job. You ain't making 30, you're down to 20. Because you get up at 3 o'clock, that's when you start work. You know, people got to get it. My wife, she's a worker. That's what she's used to. So she's not used to going to business. She wants to go get her a job so she can get her check, and that's fine for her. But it's some people that really want to get into business, they just afraid to get in there. Here comes the fear factor again. They're afraid to get in there. You know, I've been a little entrepreneur since I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. I used to have a paper route. I mowed yards. I bagged groceries at Pick and Pack. This one we lived in Berkeley. You know, I did all that stuff. You know, I was always had an entrepreneur spirit. You know, I only had two jobs in my whole life. And I got out of the pen, and I had to have work. So, you know, I was staying at Mama's. Now I'm staying at Mama's house. Hello? 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 Can you hear me? Brother Suleiman.
Hoes. Let up my wrist on these hoes. Now I look down on these.